As you may have guessed, our theme for the month that we're going to be exploring together is courage. The words of our reading this morning are by writer, activist, and poet Laura Hershey. What you risk telling your story, you'll bore them. Your voice will break, your ink will spill and stain your coat. No one will understand. Their eyes become fences. You will park yourself forever on the outside, your differentness once and for all revealed, dangerous. The names you give to yourself will become epithets. Your happiness will be called bravery, denial. Your sadness will justify their pity. Your fear will magnify their fears. Everything you say will prove something about their God or their economic system. Your feelings that change day by day, kaleidoscopic, will freeze in place, brand you forever, justify anything they decide to do with you. Those with power can afford to tell their story or not. Those without power risk everything to tell their story and must. Someone, somewhere, will hear your story and decide to fight, to live and refuse compromise. Someone else will tell her own story, risking everything. In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. These are words attributed to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. Silence is a powerful thing. It can make people believe that we agree with what is happening. It can make it seem like we don't care. And it can, as King notes, make more of an impact than our words. When times are tense, when we're struggling to speak out, when it can feel safer to stay silent, where do we find the strength to speak out in a way that others might actually hear? As Unitarian Universalists, we draw from many sources for inspiration and revelation. We draw from earth-centered traditions, the world's religions, words and deeds of prophetic women and men, to name a few. One of the sources we draw from is the Christian Bible. In the epistle to the Ephesians, there is a reference to speaking truth in love. This idea of speaking truth in love has become a touchstone for us as Unitarian Universalists, particularly in our justice work. Speaking truth in love lives alongside standing on the side of love and caring and compassion. It requires of us that we not stay silent on issues of injustice. It requires of us that we speak our truth and the broader truth of justice, fairness, and equality as our utmost goals. And not just in large and abstract ideas, ideas of injustice that are large and beyond our scope, but our everyday, in our workplaces, our families, our communities. But what does that mean, to speak truth in love? Most of us tell the truth most of the time, right? We try to say what we're feeling, what we're doing, we're thinking, what we need, rather than lying or not saying anything. We try to tell the truth. This idea of speaking the truth in love has less to do with telling that kind of truth, like whether we were sneaking candy, or whether we were the ones who dropped the ball on that project, or whether we were actually late to work because of traffic and not because we just slept in. It has less to do with lying to cover our backs and more to do with speaking about broader, more encompassing truths, like speaking up for what is good and just and right, or speaking our lived truth, our experience, bringing that to the conversation in a way that engages us and others in a dialogue. Speaking truth in love has to do with opening ourselves and others to the possibility of learning and deepening. We encounter opportunities like this frequently. Someone says or does something that we disagree with, not in a superficial way, but rather in a way that goes against our fundamental beliefs as a person in the world. What do we do? How do we respond? What if the person who's behaving badly or judging a situation harshly is someone we love, like our friend or a family member? I'd imagine that many of us have encountered this challenge, perhaps around the election or in the months since, of hearing or seeing something harsh come from a person we love. It can hit us hard. And many of us struggle to stay in relationship with that person. It's hard, particularly in a day and age when social media and which news source we watch can determine a lot of what we absorb as individuals. They can do a lot to shape how we see and experience the issues of our day. And they can significantly impact whether we simply break off relationship with people who think differently than us or strive to stay in the conversation. This is when speaking our truth and doing so in love can be most important. It can also be when it is the most terrifying, because potentially breaking that relationship can fill us with fear. In our reading this morning, Laura Hershey speaks to this fear about speaking out, about sharing our story. She writes about the fear that our changing, kaleidoscopic feelings, and they change, can freeze in place, that no one will understand, their eyes will become fences. These are images that resonate with me. I've seen it happen, the fence go up. In our current political climate, our communities and relationships are fragmented. There are fences going up everywhere, people being placed on one side or the other. Our culture has increasingly moved to a place where we call each other out. There seems to be little space for wading in the gray waters on any particular issue. You're either right, like me, because clearly I am right, or you're wrong. We're leaving very little space for the in-between, and that is where we find ourselves, in a place where in order to speak up or speak out, we think we have to call somebody else out, put them into a box, put them into a container to understand. And the result is often that we are yelling at and about each other on either side of that proverbial fence, and no one's actually listening. What if, instead, we spoke from our own experience? What if instead we spoke about how things are directly impacting us and the people we love? What if we entered into conversations with genuine curiosity instead of judgment? Perhaps that is what takes genuine courage. Perhaps that is what could encourage the other person to do the same. Encourage, as we learned in our chalice lighting this morning, is the act of heartening and imparting strength and confidence. What if telling our own story and speaking to our lived experience did just that? Heartened us, strengthened us, and encouraged others to do the same, to share their truth. And maybe they won't. Maybe it will still end up in a broken relationship and misunderstanding, but the effort would have been genuine and from the heart. That takes courage. Ambrose Redmoon once wrote that courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something else is more important than fear. I'll say that again. Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something else is more important than fear. What if relationship is more important than fear? What if deepening in that relationship is more important still? In my experience, people are harder to write off when we love them. Relationship is essential to bridging gaps and differences in political beliefs, religious ideas, which side of the fence you happen to be on. It is harder to write someone off when we know their story, or when we can tie an abstract idea like immigration, reproductive justice, racism to their lived reality and experience. And this is why speaking truth to power and doing so in love is best done when we speak from our own experience, when we share our story. No one can take that away. No one can take away your lived experience. They are true. They are real. Our individual experiences aren't the whole story, but they're most certainly part of it. In sharing our lived experiences and the stories of the lived experiences of others, we shift the interaction from one of calling each other out to calling each other in to relationship. We shift the culture from one that puts up fences between us and instead to one that builds bridges. But what does that mean in a country that is increasingly divided? What does building bridges look like in a country where we are prone to self-selecting and dividing ourselves by ideology, religious belief, and politics? In his book, The Big Sort, Bill Bishop writes about our human tendency to sort ourselves into groups of like-minded individuals. He points out that by doing so, we have created a system where we are surrounded by people who tend to agree with us and our ideas. And it creates this self-perpetuating feedback loop of information that we are comfortable with and most of the times with which we agree. According to Bishop, in 1976, less than 25% of Americans lived in places where the presidential election was a landslide. Less than 25%. Last year, 80% of US counties gave either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton a landslide victory. This means that in the span of fewer than 40 years, we have come to a place where 65% more of us live next to people who are politically aligned with us. He also goes on to talk about how this impacts our feelings of loneliness in our communities, even though the vast majority of us are surrounded by people who agree with us, because there's not space for dialogue. We know this in Ithaca. We are 10 square miles surrounded by reality, right? This is what, I have a bag that says it. Most of us know this here in this congregation as well. I often hear Unitarian Universalists talk about how they're grateful to find a community of like-minded people, to have found a place to belong. And it's important to feel that sense of inclusion, to hear our ideas echoed in the ideas of others. But it also means that there's potential for us to become increasingly disengaged from the wealth of experience and engagement that happens when we interact with people who are different from us, who believe things differently than we do. It means that we make the assumption that every person in this room feels the same way about our economy, parenting, education, God, religion, a vast array of other issues. And that may or may not be the case. In fact, much of the beauty of Unitarian Universalism is not that we are ideologically or religiously the same, but that we are bound by our promise to one another to seek truth and meaning together, to share our stories and to grow together. And thank goodness, because being surrounded by people who are ideologically with us, that means that we can fall out of the practice of moving out of our comfort zones, of growing. We can fall out of the practice of speaking truth in love, and especially doing so in a way that creates opportunity for deeper relationship. In a world where we could just as easily not engage and share our story, we need to have the courage to do so, and encourage others to do so, and to listen. In a world where not everyone holds the same level of power, we need to also amplify the voices and stories of people who are without power. As Unitarian Universalists, we gather in community to seek truth in love and to gain the courage to speak truth in love. As Unitarian Universalists, we gather to remind ourselves that there is something more important and stronger than fear. May we remember that it takes great courage to do these things. May we remember that that courage, along with our anger, joy, conviction, and hope, lives deep within us, and we need to bring them out into the world. May we encourage each other. Let us remember also the value in staying in relationship, in speaking from our own experience, in listening deeply to others. In doing so, we might find a more complex, multifaceted, and courageous truth we could not have otherwise imagined. So may it be. Blessed be. Amen.